Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to It's Storytime Gather Round on the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio with your host, authors Christy Condaleo and myself, J.D. Holliday. Three Saturdays a month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be here and read a story to you. Parents, if you or your children have questions or comments, you can call in after the stories are read. Our phone number is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259. Or join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on May 12, 2012. It's Storytime Gather Round can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. You could also find us on our site. It's storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. Hi, Christy. We have two stories today. The first story we're going to read is Alexis and Ralph the Dragon by author Bernard Kowalski and illustrated by Dawn Phillips. This is a cute story, which is about a baby dragon raised as a little boy by humans. Ralph doesn't know he's a dragon until he meets other children. Okay. The second story, my co-host right here at It's Storytime Gather Round, Christy Condaleo's book, Something Greater Than Fear. Christy, tell us about the book.
Sure, Jen. My book, Something Greater Than Fear, it's illustrated by Chris Gogan. Figs is a mouse that is a prisoner in her own home by mysterious smell. She's out of food and must leave her home. What she discovers outside her door, though, is something far greater than fear.
Okay, I will read Alexis and Ralph the Dragon. Once upon a time, because every good story starts with once upon a time, there was a dragon. His name was Ralph. When Ralph was very small, just a baby, he was left on Bill and Kathy's front step. He was left there in a basket, all wrapped up in a blanket. A letter was attached to his basket. The letter said, "Please take care of my baby dragon, as I have to go far, far away and cannot bring him with me." Bill and Kathy saw the baby dragon and read the note pinned to the basket. They brought Ralph inside. "Should we keep him?" Bill asked Kathy. "I think we should," Kathy answered. "I always wanted a baby of my very own." So it went. Bill and Kathy had themselves a baby dragon. Well, as you know, it's not easy raising a baby dragon these days with the price of dragon food, and of course, you just can't find a good dragon school. With this in mind, Bill and Kathy decided to raise Ralph as a little boy. They fed him food that little boys eat. They dressed him in little boys' clothes and taught him how to talk and act like other children. It wasn't long before Ralph got big. Soon after that, he got bigger and bigger. Ralph was as big as a house. But, as you know, that's how big dragons get. Bill and Kathy were glad they planned ahead. Bill had already built a giant room with a giant television for Ralph. He had giant games, giant toys, giant books, everything a dragon of his stature could need. But Ralph was lonely because he didn't have any friends. He was thinking about this when Kathy walked into his room and sat down next to him. "Ralph," she said, "it's about time you went out and made friends with other children." Ralph was glad to hear this. He wanted to make friends. The next day, Ralph jumped out of bed bright and early, and the whole house shook. Because when dragons jump out of bed, you know it. Anyway, Ralph jumped out of bed and got dressed in the clothes that his mother had made for him and ran to the park. "Hi, everyone," Ralph bellowed to all the children. All the children turned around, stared at Ralph. One of them screamed, "Oh, no, it's a dragon." Then all the children began to scream, "Oh, no, it's a dragon." And they all ran away, girls and boys alike. Ralph stood there alone and began to cry. Slowly, he turned around and went back home. "Mommy, Mommy," he cried to Kathy when he got home. All the other children ran away from me and even called me a dragon. I'm not a dragon, am I? Sit down, Ralph, Kathy said. There is something I have to tell you. Ralph sat down. Ralph, you're adopted. No, Ralph said. Yes, Kathy said. And yes, you are a dragon. No, Ralph said. Yes, Ralph, it's true. Haven't you noticed that you are green and we are not? Yes, Ralph said, but I thought it was because I wasn't getting enough sun. No, Kathy said, it's because you are a dragon. Didn't you notice that you are as big as a house and your father and I aren't even 6 foot tall? I thought maybe you weren't getting enough sun. No, Ralph, Kathy said. And what about your big green tail? Well, I had to admit that had me confused a bit, Ralph said, scratching his horns. Does this upset you, Ralph? Kathy asked. Ralph, who was always a very happy-go-lucky kind of a dragon, answered, No, I guess this is something I knew for quite some time. I just wanted to pretend to be like everyone else. But, Ralph, you're not like everyone else, and that's good. Why? Ralph asked, confused. No one is like anyone else. Everyone is different. That's what makes us special. Of course, you look less like anyone else than anyone else looks like anyone else. Kathy paused to catch her breath. But it's not how a person looks that counts anyway. It's how a person acts that counts. Now go out there and make friends and show them that what Ralph is all about. Ralph did just that. He ran out the door and galloped back to the park. Hi, everyone, he bellowed to all the children. All the children turned around and stared. One of them screamed, Oh, no, it's a dragon, and they all ran away, girls and boys alike. Please don't run away, Ralph cried. I just want to make friends and have someone to play with. One little girl with blonde hair and brown eyes stopped running. She turned around and looked at poor Ralph. I'll be your friend, she said. What's your name? My name is Ralph, he sobbed. My name's Alexis, the pretty little girl said. Why does everyone run when I show up? Ralph asked her. I guess it's because you're so different and so big. One might even say you are huge. My mom says we're all different. That's what makes us all who we are, Ralph said. My mom and dad say that too. On that day, Alexis and Ralph became great friends and were always seen together. It was because Alexis was a very good and kind person and almost always a polite and proper person. All the other children loved her, so in turn, all the other children gave Ralph a chance to be a friend too. Soon, Ralph was part of the gang. It wasn't long before they found out a dragon could be a very good friend. With Ralph's size, he could scare away all the bullies and lift children to the top of the monkey bars. He was great to have on your side playing football, and on sunny, hot days, he gave off plenty of shade. The most important thing was that Ralph's personality was that of a good and kind person, just like his first friend, Alexis. And, of course, they lived happily ever after, because all good stories end with, they live happily ever after. The end. Great. Christy?
I'm here. That was a great story.
I know. It was so cute, wasn't it?
That was really good.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. My story is Something Greater Than Fear, and I will begin it now. I always start off with, not always, but sometimes I'll start off with a poem. No matter how big, no matter how small, the great breath of life was given to all. We grow, we learn, we experience a lot, some good, some bad, some we know not. If the events leave us well or find us battered, it's how we dealt with it that mattered. At a breath past midnight, when the harvest moon had reached the center of the sky, a small wet nose poked out from its tiny tree hollow. The wary owner, a small gray mouse named Diggs, sniffed the cool fall air and gathered fireflies for her lantern. Unlike her cousin, Gaskell, Figs did not like the sea, so she lived inside the forest. If you take several paces past the last sand dune, you will discover a giant oak. With long, winding branches, it climbs endlessly into the sky, while a belt of rock holds it to its earthly spot. Several strands of English ivy stretch from and tuck back into the top hollow tree, safely hiding her tiny door. It was a perfect home, at least until the smell arrived. For 5 long days, a foul odor kept her from venturing out for food. Since small creatures depend on their sense of smell to warn them of danger, she refused to leave her home. Something that smelled that unpleasant could only mean trouble. Tonight, though, she was left without a choice. Her tunnels to Swiss Hollow were blocked, and there was no food. Not even a single berry remained. Twitching her wiry whiskers, Big stepped out her door. Trembling and unsure, she was determined to discover the cause of the smell. Big sat down her lantern and pulled on her cloak. Nervous claws twitched as she lifted the hood. Unfamiliar noises made her tiny paw tighten around the handle of a small dagger made from shell and wood. Instinctively, her whiskers twitched, but they were useless. For a daring brief moment, she closed her eyes and stretched her ears. After a few shaky breaths, she squeaked and then shook her head. The crickets were especially chatty tonight. As usual, their chirping rose above every other noise. However, Figs was not discouraged. Practice has taught her how to be patient and how to tune them out. A sudden, deep-throated noise made her ears twitch and her fur prickle. Her eyes flew open, and she squeaked in relief when she saw that it was only the old toad and his mate from the nearby pond. If she wasn't so scared, she would have laughed. Oh, how she wished she could just use her nose. Everything around her seemed much scarier without it. Shadows took over and made mocking faces at her, while normal sounds wrapped into wicked whispers. If this horrible smell didn't end soon, she would have no other choice but to move back to Swiss Hollow. The mice at the Hollow were nice, but she had almost drowned when she was a mouseling. Figs disliked anything that dealt with water and could not fit in a cup. A strange moan floated along a small gust of wind and quickly blew her from the watery thoughts. She immediately fell back on all fours, but instead of scurrying away in retreat, her tiny black eyes fixed warily on 2 lofty leaf piles. Leaves from one of the piles rose up and fell slightly. Even mice know that clumps of leaves don't breathe. Her nose crinkled as the odor grew stronger with each step she took. Just as she reached the pile, it trembled violently and let out a loud moan. The wind tugged a few leaves from the pile. 2 dull yellowish orbs stared back at her. The leaf pile has eyes? What kind of leaf pile has eyes? She wondered wildly before understanding made her knees weak. Big's heart pounded loudly in her ears. Her eyes squeezed shut as the answer made her thoughts cry out. A mouse-eating pile has leaves. After an eternity of seconds had passed, and the agony of nothing had made her as stiff as a statue, she dared open one eye. More leaves were lost from the pile. Frizzed feathers and a stained hook-shaped beak. Beak! She squeaked madly as she recognized it. The chatter of crickets finally hushed, and the toad held his croak at her cry. The remaining leaves were pulled off by the wind, and a glint of silver caught Figs' eye. Below the muck-crusted beak, and to the left, rising high into the air, was an odd-looking stick. Underneath, a thick, black, red liquid wet. Figs' nose twitched as she discovered instantly that she had found the stick. the smell. The owl's wound was badly infected.
Wah!
The owl called weakly, just as she turned away and started to leave. Upon hearing the owl's voice, Big stiffened. The call was not that of an enemy, but of another creature in need. She took a deep breath, and instead of running, she listened to her heart. If anyone were to see her, they would surely think she was mad. Big studied the stick for a few breaths, and then her shiny eyes met with his dimming orbs. She gave him a quick nod, and just before her paws took hold of the stick, the stubborn piece of wood did not budge. Big looked again into the owl's eyes. If their fates were switched, she would be an easy dinner for this owl. So why did she want to do this? Biggs frowned. This time she sunk her teeth and her pin-sized claws into the stick. As she gave one more tug, she fell back and landed in the mud. Right as she was about to give up, she looked down at her sore paws, and she gasped at what she saw. Clutched tightly within them was the deadly stick. Biggs' eyes flew back to the wound. Blood flowed from the now open hole. She jumped to her feet and searched the nearby bushes until she found what she needed. Fate was surely with that owl tonight. She quickly grabbed up silken threads from an empty spider's nest and stuck them into the wound. The blood soon thickened and then stopped altogether. Biggs gave one final nod to the owl. If there was gratitude in his glazed-over orbs, she could not tell. Nor did she really care. That was not the reason she had helped him. She knew that tomorrow they would be enemies once more, but for today, she proved that there was something greater than fear. It might even be stronger than hate. Never once turning her back to the owl, she rushed away and back to the safety of her tree. Once inside, Biggs discovered a wonderful surprise. Gaskell and his friends had come to visit while she was out. Not only had they cleared the underground tunnel, but they had left her baskets of food. Later that evening, as she sat in her rocker, she thought about her adventure with the owl. If she could survive that, well, maybe she could try living near the water again with her friends and family. Maybe Gaskell can even teach me how to swim, she thought, as she admired the painting of the famous Nautilus ship, the Bree. The end.
Oh, that was cute, Christy. Can you tell us about your other books and your website?
Sure. My website is www.eppiescreations.com. The illustrator that helped me so much with this book, his name is Chris Gogan. His website is www.chrisgogan.com. I have seven other books. The first is the award-winning Gaskell's Bravery. It's like a brother book, so to speak, to this book. Then there's Time's Hope, The One Sock Princess, for which I illustrated myself. There's Spirit Feathers. It's a short story book that I did when my mom was sick. Fragments of the Key, Ela's Misfit is a chapter book, and Pale Shade in the Mysterious Paper, which is my latest chapter book. I'm currently working on two books right now, Pale Shade and the Mysterious Paper, not the sequel, that's a series actually. This one will be called The Mystery of Mitsu, and then a small dragon picture book.
Ah, good, good. I want to add that Alexis and Ralph the Dragon was written by Bernard Kowalski, as I said earlier, and illustrated by Dawn Phillips. They both have a charming sequel to Alexis and Ralph the Dragon called Ralph the Dragon Learns to Fly and Meets the Blue Butterfly, and their site is rdchildrensbooks.com. Okay, I also want to add that all the books that we read on the show will be donated to the Children's Shriners Hospital of Philadelphia or St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Our time is just about up. My name is J.D. Holliday, and you can find me and my books at thebookgarden.net. My co-host is Christy Condaleo, and you can find her and her books at epiescreations.com. You can also find us at storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. Thank you for joining us. Our next show will not be until June 2nd, when award-winning author and illustrator Naomi Rose will read Tashi and the Tibetan Flower Cure. Bye now.
Bye.